And we ended up moving to Birmingham, Alabama. And the person that I worked for actually started asking me a lot of questions about Judaism. Found that very interesting, asking him why. And he's a Baptist. Started to ask me to come to church with him. And he says to me, and this is in October, he says, "So what do you think about sin?" "That's bad stuff." And he says, "Well, a few weeks ago was Yom Kippur. Did you fast?" And I said, "Nah, not this year. In fact, I think I said I had a half a ham sandwich or something."
There's more to that story. That's a gentleman by the name of Stu Schlachman. He's going to be joining me. A Jewish believer, a man who came to faith in Jesus Christ as his Messiah. We're going to talk about that very important topic on Intentional Living.
Welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, a best-selling author, husband and father, and your advocate for the family. On today's program, you're going to hear how two individuals came to faith in Christ. If you have a faith story, share it with us. Call 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. Now from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your faith, here's Randy.
All right, thank you, Kurt. We got a great, great half hour ahead here as we hear these two stories that Kurt just mentioned. A man and a woman, both who came to saving knowledge in Jesus Christ from different places and different experiences, and I think we realize that as individuals, we all come to Christ from wherever we're coming, but we all come to the same place. And that's the thing that unifies us, that pulls us together, is the cross and the fact that Christ died for us. So I think today's going to be a very encouraging time, and I hope you'll stay tuned, invite some friends to join you as well, right here from the Intentional Living Center.
One thing I have started to do to be living intentional is to wake up in the morning and recite and memorize Psalm 51, David's prayer of restoration, that all sin in your life you confess and not only want to be clean, but want to be restored, and to take responsibility for your own sin and confess.
I just want to give you an example of how I choose to intentionally live. First thing in the morning when I get up, I open up His Holy Word and I consume myself with it, and then I spend 30 minutes in prayer. And I choose to love no matter what. My intentional living is done through my conscious choice to love others.
What are we doing intentionally? And I have asked God for agape love, and I've noticed things that used to get me upset no longer get me upset. I think I'm filled with love that those things just don't bother anymore.
Hey, thanks for sharing your stories with us here at Intentional Living. You can do so at 888-888-1717 today. And, you know, one of the focuses of our program is every day to hear a story, someone who's living intentionally, what God has done in their life and changes in their life. And I'm meeting a new friend today. I want to introduce to you, Stu Schlachman is on the line. And Stu Schlachman, what is that? What nationality is that?
My grandfather was born in Kiev, Russia. So it's your basic Russian, Slavic, and also Jewish name.
Oh.
I grew up in the New York area, Yonkers, New York. My family was a conservative Jewish home. Went to Hebrew school since I was 5 years old. When we moved to Long Beach, I actually became pretty serious about it. My grandfather was my mentor, who was an Orthodox Jew, on my mother's side. Before you knew it, I was the salutatorian of my Hebrew school. I went to Hebrew high school along with regular high school. And at one point, my grandfather thought maybe I should be a rabbi, but that's not something I wanted to do. So, I went off to college and just lived the usual kind of a radical life, just tried to experiment with things, totally left my religion.
So you weren't, during that time, you weren't practicing Judaism in college?
No. Basically, after high school, I really just left the faith and became kind of what everybody calls a secular Jew, like right. Most of them today.
Right.
I ended up moving up to the Boston area, New Hampshire, when I started working out of college. Eventually got married to my first wife in 1981, who was not Jewish. She was a member of the Church of Christ down in, she's from the Houston area. And we ended up moving to Birmingham, Alabama. And the person that I worked for actually started asking me a lot of questions about Judaism. Found that very interesting, asking him why. And he's a Baptist. Started to ask me to come to church with him. So I went to church with him several times. And then one night we had dinner with another friend of his that worked in our sales unit, a guy named Greg Christian. He says, "I understand you're Jewish." I said, "Yeah." And he says to me, and this is in October, he says, "So what do you think about sin?" And I say, "Sin? That's bad stuff." And he says, "Well, a few weeks ago was Yom Kippur. Did you fast?" And I said, "Nah, not this year. In fact, I think I said I had a half a ham sandwich or something." And it ended up having a two-hour discussion around sin and around redemption and salvation. And I was actually started to get interested in what they were saying. I ended up going back to the hotel, and a few nights, I was staying at a hotel while my family was moving down to Birmingham. One night in the hotel, I'm sitting there, and instead of watching TV, I pull the nightstand drawer open, and there is a Gideon Bible. And I open up the Bible, and I start thumbing through it, and I see Leviticus and Exodus and Deuteronomy. I say, "Ah, it's my Bible, pretty good stuff." But I keep on going, and then towards three-quarters of the way, I see this, the New Testament of Jesus Christ, and I say, "What is this doing in my Bible?" And it really alarmed me. And then this voice actually said to me, "So, you believe in the first half, and you don't believe in the second half." And I don't know why I said that to myself. I mean, it was someone talking to me. And I thought about it for a minute, and I said, "Well, I certainly believe in the first half, but I don't know about the second half." And then, you know, I said to myself, "Well, why are they in one binder?" And finally, the voice said to me, "So if you believe in the first half and you don't believe in the second half, you're calling me a liar." Mm-hmm. And that really alarmed me. And from that point on, I needed to explore what was in the New Testament. And then I was visiting a Church of Christ down in the Birmingham area, and the minister came to visit with me one Monday night, and he started showing me the prophecies that I'd never saw before, including Isaiah 53. And that just blew me away. And then I was serious about looking into this. And it was probably about 2 or 3 weeks later, I was really going to church on a regular basis, not knowing why. And then all of a sudden, one Wednesday night when they had the invitation, I went up front and got baptized.
Hang on, Stu. We want to hear what happened after you went forward to be baptized. So we'll be right back to you. My guest today is Stu Schlachman, and I'll be back with him right after this.
Hi, I would just like to share that my husband died and my next door neighbor had moved. But she found me, and she offered to pray with me for a year and a half every day until I was able to function on my own, be better or whatever. But she was there for me a year and a half, calling every day at 10 o'clock in the morning, and we prayed together. I just wanted to share that.
Thank you for your stories. You know, when you share with us what God's doing in your life, we appreciate hearing from you. Share yours at 888-888-1717. My guest today is Stu Schlachman. He's a speaker, an author, and a Jewish man from New York who found Christ in Birmingham, Alabama. So, Stu, you know, you were talking about a pastor visiting you, and then you went to his church several times, and then on Wednesday, you went forward to be baptized. So when did this journey begin for you?
That was a journey that started in 1983. You know, I became a Christian. I was baptized in February of 1984. I wrote the story almost 3 years ago. The name of my book is From the Star to the Cross. And that story is actually in there. But I actually had a two-hour discussion with my brother about it. Basically, he says, "You know, it just never stuck with me. I never bought into it. I don't feel anything about this person of Jesus." Because I made me think for the next 2 days, what could I have had said to him? And what came through my mind is, what's the meaning of life? What's the meaning of life if there's nothing afterwards? Why do we go through all this? Relationships, controversy, the ups and downs, the joy and the sadness, the life and the death, our friends and family, for all this to end and there's nothing? Because in Judaism, there's a big question mark at the end of life. Where do you go? Because the Old Testament doesn't talk about heaven. It's the New Testament. I mean, the number one discussion point that Jesus addressed in the New Testament is the kingdom of heaven. And when I heard that, what I said to my brother the other night was, I want to be in heaven, and I want my whole family to be there with me.
Amen.
Because I'll miss you. This life isn't just over and that's it. There's more to it. We're being prepared for something bigger and better because that's the promise of the Bible.
Absolutely.
And one of the things that attracted me about the person of Jesus is the fact that he has saved us from sin. I mean, and that's a big issue today that I think people don't really consider the ramifications of what sin really is, which is separation from God. And the only way to get back to God is through the promise that his son died on the cross and rose from the dead for our sins. I mean, he defeated death. I mean, to me, it's the most amazing story ever told, and I just want to share it with anybody I could. I've talked to a lot of my Jewish buddies about it, and they kind of think I'm a freak. You know, at first, it was very difficult for me to let friends know what I've done, but now it's actually easy, and I can't wait to tell them. Another thing I say is I'm still a Jew. I call myself a completed Jew because that's what Jesus brought. I mean, he was a Jew. And the fact that I believe in him, it doesn't say anywhere in the Bible that you are no longer a Jew if you believe in Jesus. So the best thing I could do is I could tell my father, Dad, I'm still a Jew, but I believe that Jesus is the Messiah. That's probably the best way I could address it these days. And I just still pray for my dad, my brother, and my entire family every chance I could get.
Well, you've been on quite a journey, Stu, and you mentioned you wrote a book, and I know that some of our listeners may be interested in connecting with that, knowing more about it, if they come on over to our website at theintentionallife.com and click on today's broadcast highlights there. You can get access to it to read more about Stu's journey and how, as a Jewish man becoming a secular Jew, really not practicing Judaism, but then finding the Messiah and an encounter with Christ and the change in his life, a very intentional walk, and now intentionally taking what he has learned, taking what's transformed his life, and telling others, those he loves, those he cares for. That's a powerful thing. Stu Schlachman, thank you, my friend, for being with us here on Intentional Living today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We'd love to hear your faith story. Call now at 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. Coming up, Donna Skell, Executive Director of Roaring Lambs in Dallas, Texas, shares with Dr. Randy how she came to Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Hello.
Hey, Kelly. I found just what we need for our mom's group Bible study. It's called the Intentional Word. It's this great chronological Bible I heard about on Intentional Living.
A chronological Bible?
Yeah, it's everything that happens in the Bible in the order that it actually happened. And we can work through it in about 15 minutes a day.
That sounds interesting. Because sometimes it feels like I barely have 15 minutes a day. Gotta go.
Make God's Word a daily habit with the Intentional Word Chronological Bible. Available at theintentionallife.com.
Free. Can you really get anything worthwhile for free anymore? Well, here's good news for you. At theintentionallife.com, you can find all kinds of things to help you as you lead an intentional life. Many of them free. Pick up Dr. Randy's free ebook, 30 Days of Inspiration, or check out the latest newsletter or daily devotions, all free and available to you right now. It's not always easy to lead an intentional life, but with free resources from theintentionallife.com, you can do it.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Have you seen some of the great wisdom with our Facebook family? And Layla has learned that her 2-year-old repeats everything she says, including, I'm sorry and forgive me, because her daughter has seen mommy apologize to her. Join our Facebook family today at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com and click on the Facebook icon. Dr. Randy?
Thank you, Kurt, and I do welcome you back to the Intentional Living Center. We're going to be talking with Donna Skell in just a moment. She's the executive director of Roaring Lambs. But she's also a Jewish believer, and, you know, I think that's a theme we're hearing today. How do we reach people that come from different backgrounds and different experiences? And we're going to get to the story of Donna Skell here in just a minute, so stay tuned.
Today I'm intentionally going to seek God before I say anything to anybody, because sometimes we speak out of just anger and necessity instead of seeking God first. And that's what I'm going to intentionally do today. And I do thank God for Family Life Radio. I'm a new listener, and I'm loving every day of it. Thank you, and be blessed.
Dr. Randy Carlson here from the Intentional Living Center. How is it that we can take the love of Christ and cross over and talk to someone, reach someone who maybe has a different worldview than we do? And we thought a great person to have and share their own journey in this regard was Donna Skell. Donna is with a ministry called Roaring Lambs, and they teach people to share their faith, but she was not always a follower of Christ. She comes from a different background, and we'd like to hear how that journey led her to Christ and what we as Christians can do to do a better job in connecting. Donna, welcome to Intentional Living.
Thank you. It's good to be with you today. As you know, I was born and raised Jewish, and I loved the Lord. I always knew God was a holy God. I knew He was a big God. I knew He was a good God. I just didn't know anything about Jesus Christ, and I was brought up not to seek out that information, but to keep our heritage strong and keep within our little family there and not venture out.
What was your picture or your idea of Christians and Christianity?
I'll tell you the truth. Before I moved to the South, I didn't have any idea. I grew up in New England, and just because of the area I grew up with wonderful people, a lot of Italian people, a lot of Roman Catholic people, and I knew that they believed in Jesus, and I knew I didn't, but I didn't really know that Jesus was for me, and so I never really experienced any spiritual up in the Northeast, but I was transferred down to Nashville, Tennessee, and I was placed in an environment with a lot of born-again believers, and I'll tell you what really spoke to me. They loved me because I was Jewish. They didn't even know me personally, but when I was around these Christian believers, they had an extraordinary love for me only because I was Jewish, and that spoke to me. I wanted to know what that was about, because I never experienced that up north. I would experience just the opposite, really. The other thing that really spoke to me about this group of people is they were so confident in what they believed. They knew what they believed, and they knew why they believed it. And it was their confidence in their beliefs that also spoke to me. So I knew something was missing from my life. I didn't have what these folks had. Wasn't sure exactly what it was. So I decided to quit one of the best jobs I ever had and go find myself. I was in my late 20s, and it seemed the thing to do. And so I walked into the vice president's office, and he was a born-again believer, and he knew where I came from. And the very first thing he said to me is, "I want you to know you never give up being Jewish." And when he said that to me, I felt like I had an ice cube inside my chest that just started melting. I didn't know what it was then. I know what it is now, because the Bible tells us that Lydia, who was a worshiper of God like I was, how God softened her heart to respond to the message of the gospel. And when he started to speak to me and give me permission to listen, my heart started to soften. He asked me if I knew my purpose in life, and this was in 1978, long before Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life, and it was a real new question to me, and I wasn't exactly sure. I knew anything I answered would sound pretty shallow, and he took me to Revelations 4:11, where it says, "For God's pleasure were we created." So that was kind of a new thought. He took me to Jeremiah 24:7, where it says that God gave us a heart to know Him. So I thought, okay, this is new. I'm created for His pleasure. He gave me a heart to know Him. And then He took me to Acts, I think it's 27:16-17, where it says that God puts us all in a certain place at a certain time so that we will seek him and find him. The Holy Spirit gave that man just that message to lead me to Christ. And so that day, I just followed what he suggested and recognized that I was a sinner. I'll never forget, he said to me, Donna, are you a sinner? And I thought for a moment, and I said, no, sir, I'm not. And obviously, I didn't really have a concept of sin and how often in a day I sinned. And so he started there and explained that sin was just disappointing God, not putting him first in my life. And I began to see I was a sinner. He helped me to see that Jesus Christ was the final blood sacrifice for my sins so that I could come into right relationship with God the Father. Mm.
Powerful. Can you hang on for a minute, Don?
I
want you to come back, if you would, because today we're sort of focusing on this thing of how do we love people who are different than we are. It's easy to love people who are like us, you know, or love us back, but sometimes that's not what happens. How can we love people? And you gave a list here, some really powerful things. I'd like to have you think about what are three or four specific things a person can do today who's a follower of Christ, and they got somebody in their life who's different than they are. And their passion is to reach them for Christ and share Christ with them. What I heard in your voice, though, was people didn't beat you up. They loved you. And I'd like to have you share some specific things people can do to be intentional to love those who are different than they are today.
You gave me the understanding of what it means to live an intentional life and to live intentionally in Christ and as a Christian.
My husband made a turn in his life when he walked towards the Lord.
Sunday, I went to church and I did receive Christ on my heart, and I accepted Jesus as my Savior.
And I hear you talking about living an intentional life. God is teaching me about forgiveness.
I'm going to intentionally study what the Bible says about living in fear. I've already started. I started a few days ago. I think you're onto an amazing truth.
You know, whenever I hear another story, as you just heard, or stories that come into our storyline or comment line, I'm reminded of God's faithfulness and what he's doing in the lives of people all over the country and around the world. And if you have a story to share or a question to ask, come to the Intentional Living Center by calling 888-888-1717. Today, focusing on how we can love people who are different, we asked Donna Scal to be with us. And Donna is in ministry full-time helping Christians share their faith today, but her background was from Judaism. And it was through a series of Christians loving her and speaking into her life and caring for her that she came to accept Jesus Christ personally as her Savior. And Donna, you gave a good outline of some of the things Christians did that made a difference in your life. Help a Christian listener today, a person who wants to be intentional in reaching somebody who's different than they are. What are some practical things they should consider?
First is to engage them and let them do the talking. I find that if I want to open up with someone, if I want to get to the point where I can share personally about Christ, and for them to receive it, they have to feel comfortable with me. So I always try to give the other person the first opportunity to talk. I'll ask some questions like, tell me a little bit about your faith, or tell me a little bit about your spiritual journey, or where would you say you are on your spiritual journey? Just to ask some open-ended questions that would allow me to better understand where they are so that I can better minister to them. So many times we rush into, you know, wanting to win them over to Christ, and we end up preaching at them. And
right.
And I found that that just doesn't really work. What I want them to do is open their heart to me, and, you know, it's a lot easier than just trying to force someone to think the way you think.
You know, when you were earlier sharing the process that the Christians that you met there in Nashville, I think you said, that made a difference in your life, and I was writing some notes, you said they loved me. And I think that's an important thing. People just love one. You just love a person, no matter what their background is, what their experience is, what their lifestyle is, just love them. Secondly, you made a very important point that these Christians that made an impact in your life were confident in their belief.
Oh, yes.
They knew what they believed. They lived what they believed. They were confident. And confidence is an important ingredient. Also, they spoke to your heart. They didn't just speak, you know, Bible passages and like you say, preaching, but they spoke to your heart. But there was another thing. Your boss did something I think is really important. He asked you the big question, and the big question for you was, do you know your purpose?
Right.
You know, do you know why you're here? And I think sometimes we can engage with a person, like you say, an open-ended question That's just sort of the big question, something that makes them really drawn in, that you care, you want them to think. And if they're thinking people, a question like, do you know your purpose? Do you know why you're here? What is your life about? Those are the kinds of questions that will draw a person in, that will allow an opportunity to talk. And I think the other thing that was very clear, I didn't hear any time along the way that these Christians attacked you for who you were and the fact that you were different.
Right. Oh, in fact, it was just the opposite. When they found out I was Jewish, I mean, they would come out and say, I love the Jewish people. Mm-hmm. And I had never heard that before, and that just got my attention. So just like you said, just to let them know that you love them.
That's right.
So important.
Very powerful. Donna, hey, thank you for being part of the program today, as we've been focusing on this, reaching people who are different than we are and come from a different worldview.
Thank you, Dr. Carlson.
Thank you, Donna. Appreciate you being with us. If you'd like to know more about her and her ministry, she's a part of a ministry called Roaring Lamps that really helps people amplify their faith. Check it out when you come to our broadcast highlights page at theintentionallife.com.
Yes, I'd like to thank you for the goodness that you brought into my life, and I am subscribing to Intentional Living. The whole program is based on Christ, and I think it's a great systematic way in order to help people order their lives in Jesus. And I think that's the integral message, is Jesus Christ. God bless and have a good day. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you. We appreciate your support, and glad to be walking alongside of you and others here and around the world in our mission to help people thrive. Thriving, I believe, is something that is centric to what God made us to do. Now, we don't confuse thriving with meaning that you're going to be wildly successful financially and have no problems. In fact, you're going to thrive in the midst of problems. Intentional Living is here to help equip you so when the tough times come and the failures come and the discouragement come, you're well equipped to be intentional and to thrive. And I thank those of you who very tangibly, like the man you just heard, financially support the Intentional Living message and ministry. You allow us to do what we do every day. You allow me to be on the air. And I thank you for your financial support. Members who join us monthly, you're receiving the monthly mentoring CDs. If you're not a member, come and join us today. Whatever God lays on your heart, I'd challenge you to pray about $1 a day, $30 a month in support, going right back into this message and ministry. And we'll get you signed up and start sending the CDs as a way of saying thank you for your support. Again, all you have to do is come to theintentionallife.com. You can hit the donate button there, theintentionallife.com, or during West Coast business hours, call 888-888-1717. Next time from the Intentional Living Center, we focus on protective love. Hope you'll join us.